drive to the hard line. Enter at your own risk.
And I just threw up.
Did you really think that you would get three straight takes of Carly Rae Jepsen's version of Call Me Maybe? I mean, I've got to make Cam and the boys happy, too.
Cam and the boys aren't even on the air anymore today.
They're listening.
How do you know?
Because we all listen all the time. Well, 590 The Fan, 590TheFan.com, and the app.
Yeah, but Cam threw up, too, because it's still the words to Call Me Maybe. So now we're all just puking together.
That's a pretty rough version.
It is.
I did like the first few. That one, that's a fail. Whoever did that one failed.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Bob. We had a lot of things that I sent David Solomon today that I was going to get to, and we just talked about Megan Rapinoe for an hour and a half. So we will indeed get to some of the others, and we will do it now.
In today's bit of useless information, though, did you guys see that Ty Ratty actually signed a free agent deal?
I saw that. The Locomotives.
Yeah, he's reuniting with Craig McTavish overseas in the KHL.
Good. Very for nice. Him.
A little bit of Mizzou football update here. It is our we're getting back to the point where I can start talking about Mizzou every day, which I very much
SEC
enjoy.
SEC Media Days next
week. That's right. And Mizzou announced who they're taking today. Coach Odom's going to go this year. Can you believe that? He goes every year as the head football coach. DeMarcus Acy, who I think it has the body and the skill level to be an all SEC corner. There are going to be first round corners coming out of the SEC every year, so I can't guarantee he's going to be first team anything. I'm just telling you, kid can run, he can play the ball, and he's long. And so he was not quite there last year, although he certainly came around. I think they have a lot of confidence in him. They like him a lot. Cale Garrett, who is on some preseason All American teams. If you remember his story, Cale Garrett was committed to Navy.
Yep.
Nobody offered him squat. And Mizzou came in late. He came there, and last year he was one of the most efficient linebackers in the country. Pro Football Focus breaks that stuff down a lot, and a lot of what he does there is he is one of the more sure tacklers in the entire country, and what he does is he is in the right spot all the time. Andrew Wilson was similar, but probably has a better side-to-side burst than Andrew did.
Cale.
Yeah, Cale.
Yes, yeah, agreed, yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I don't know where the 4 years went.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his senior year already. I remember, I'm still going, oh, wait, he's got a couple of years. He started as a true freshman, though.
Yeah.
Or played and then earned his way into that.
That's right. He was really good last year. Really, really good. And he was largely overshadowed by Terez Hall because that was the guy everybody talked about, and he was good. But Cale was a more efficient linebacker. Terez just had higher upside. By the way, no different than when Xavier Gooden and Andrew Gashkar played together. Z Good was one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. Not too different from Terez Hall, substantially more athletic than Terez Hall, but same kind of guy that would make some of these crazy plays that nobody on the roster could make, but then Andrew Gashkar was there every single play, and that's why Gats ended up having whatever it was. I think he just recently finished playing. He had a 7-8-year career.
Under the radar, no one ever mentioned him when they said, oh, all these Missouri players, and he kept going, hey, don't forget about him. San Diego most of the time, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep, that's exactly right. So the last one, Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant,
of course.
It's interesting. A lot of schools would have not brought him. There are a ton of schools who, when they get a transfer who's going to be center of attention, do everything they can to protect that guy from really having to say much to try to take the pressure off. Missouri has basically said, yeah, he's our guy and he's awesome. And he's going to be really good and we trust everything. He's a great leader. We think he can handle whatever it is you throw at him. He's the face of our team. Have at it.
And I think that is the number one thing to do.
I totally agree.
Look, you got a national recruited guy in your program. You want him out in front of anybody and everybody that will talk SEC football next week. Because there were other SEC schools that he had a chance to go to, and he chose you. So guess what? You want him in the front of everybody down there, because that's where all the media... That's a different world, people. I'm telling you, I've been there many times. You were there as a player.
Mm-hmm.
It is a different world, and anybody who is anybody is down there for college football. And you want any opportunity to put your best people in front for... to get your program exposure, and that's what they'll do. And that's a smart move. I like that move.
I fully agree with everything you said. Do you know who disagrees with us?
Who disagrees with? I don't know. Who would any in this building or
no?
Oh, okay.
Nationally, who has had a chance to do the same thing now twice?
I don't know.
Lincoln Riley, who is
really?
Leaving Jalen Hurts at home, and last year left Kyler Murray at home. Neither
right,
one of those guys went to Big 12 Media Day. Jalen won't be there either. They're taking Neville Gallimore. They're taking Creed Humphrey, CeeDee Lamb, and they're actually taking four Kenneth Murray. You only take three. Actually, they're taking five. Wow. Nick Boskine, too. You only typically take three to SEC Media Days. We always took four, I think, when we went to Big 12 Media Days. Yeah, I don't know why that is.
That is odd. You're right. I think that's the only guy that I know that would do something like that. I don't know if any others would.
Well, I'm trying to think of grad transfers. Like, who have been the other quarterback grad transfers? So last year, Minshew. Nobody pays attention to Pac-12 Media Days, so nobody knows if he went or not.
I don't know. That's a great question. I was just saying, I don't know the answer.
And he really wasn't a huge name either. He became a huge name because he had such a massive senior season under Leach. Outside of that, I'm trying to think of that. Like, Justin Fields was not a grad transfer. He was just a transfer this year to Ohio State.
Right.
You know, some of the other guys, like Shea Patterson, not a grad transfer. We would be talking specifically about quarterbacks who left their senior year to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that would stand out. But
I don't either. Maybe the text line knows. 855-282-8255. 636, can you discuss the OU recommit? People think it's A&M, Mizzou have a shot. I'm not sure what he's talking about there. Do you know?
There's a kid from, I think, the Kansas City area who decommitted from OU.
Decommit, he meant, yes.
He basically said, I could still go to OU, but I'm opening up my recruiting.
Yeah, that's never happened in history.
Yeah.
Decommitting from a school to then recommit.
Yeah, I
because you do all that privately. There is no, let's see.
And I want to say he's a Kansas City area kid. He's a 4-star, but your guess is as good as mine on where he might go. Yeah, you would hope that Missouri would be knocking on the door, but here's the other side of that. Just because a kid decommits and he's a 4-star doesn't mean he fits what Missouri does. I don't know enough about him to know what he does or does not do. I mean, I think you would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, people think, oh, this guy, he decommitted. We should all be in on him. Well, maybe he just doesn't do what you need here.
I can tell you this. From firsthand knowledge here, there was a time in the last few years where Missouri has extended an offer to the highest ranked player, one of the whatever it was, one, two, three highest ranked players in Missouri, and not recruited him at all because they needed to look like they were trying to get a guy while they really didn't want him.
That makes total sense.
And so they said, if we get him, okay, you know, he's a highly ranked kid.
Here's an offer.
But we're really not going to call you. We're really not going to text you. We're not going to actively recruit you. We don't think you're a fit here, and we think you're overvalued. But it would look good if we – by the way, I know that to be true for many schools across – I know personally from Mizzou, but I know guys at other schools and in the inside of what they do. Every school does that. It's a look thing. Now, the difference between the years past and this year is Missouri has 6 recruits from the St. Louis area already committed. Was it 2 years ago or – I think it was 2017 – where they did not sign a single Missouri kid.
2 years ago. No.
Not one.
Yep.
And 6 out of St. Louis is a massive haul.
Very, very strong. To your point on what you just mentioned, though, that's why if you're following on Twitter recruiting at all, and then you see a kid going, well, I'll make my decision. I got offers from, and you get a list of 7 other schools. Well, that's why all 7 are listed. Doesn't mean all 7 were actually really wanting him.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's like, well, you go, oh, Missouri offered. Missouri's in on this. Well, maybe Missouri's just really not that interested, to your point you just made.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Now, I'm looking for that you can go to, it's called mosports.com, and they have their state rankings on there, and I'm looking for the player. It is interesting. Missouri football.
I want to say his last name was Thompson.
Okay, I'll look right now. Missouri high school football has grown to a place where it is because kids like Ezekiel Elliott, because kids like Blaine Gabbert, Sheldon Richardson, you go on the list, Alden Smith and such. Missouri football is really starting to be recruited now heavily by some of the bigger boys. Oklahoma's always kind of been here. But outside of that, man, they are starting to move here. All right, so it's the 2020 class that we're talking about?
I believe so.
There is a, you said his name would be Thomas, perhaps, a four-star kid.
Michael Thompson.
Michael Thompson?
Yes. I believe this is the kid. Let's see.
Are we sure that he's from Missouri?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. I thought he was, but maybe this isn't the right story.
There are.
Sorry.
There's a kid named Joe Moore, who's 6'4", 245 pounds, four-star kid.
Deontay Manning, four-star cornerback out of Raytown.
Raytown.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a three-star on Rivals.
See, and there's another thing. Four-star here, three-star there. Yeah. What really, he can play a little bit. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
He does have it's interesting. So everybody, 247 Sports started doing this forecast, their crystal ball thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now Rivals has actually started doing it, too. They give him a 35% chance of going to Oklahoma, a 10% chance of going to Missouri. So I'm not sure how they go about it. Interestingly, and I guess because he's from Kansas, and perhaps because Les Miles there now, Kansas, the second highest chance there at 17%. I would have no idea how you would ever go about putting a percentage
story
point.
Here mentions that came after he visited Texas A&M.
Okay.
So it's wide open, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, Missouri's actually in pretty good shape. I was on yesterday with Cole Kublik and and Chris Childs on Sirius XM, and they were asking a lot about Missouri. They're like, how anxious and I guess nervous is the Missouri fan base that this might be your year, and there is the appeal just sitting there waiting to take it all away?
For me, I would say I feel the same way about that scenario as I do about Blues hockey until they won. And I mean this, and I say this to go, there's something that would happen to the University of Missouri as a Mizzou football fan where everything would align and they would have the best team they'd ever have and they'd run the table and do what they need to do. Something like that would derail the whole thing.
Yeah. That's right.
You know?
And it's no big deal when it happens to Ohio State because they win so frequently. Ohio State in 2012 went 12-0.
Yeah, you go, so what, they'll be back the next year.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, okay. And the Ohio State fans just said, yeah, we're good. We know we're good. They moved on. If Missouri went 12-0 somehow and did not get to even go to the SEC championship game, see, this is like a one in a trillion chance, and I don't think the NCAA would ever do this. But if the NCAA really wanted to throw a wrench into things, Missouri is eligible for the postseason so long as the appeal has not been met yet.
Yes.
So, say Missouri went 11-1, 12-0, whatever it is.
Yep.
And they win the SEC East. And they're eligible, and the case has not been heard yet. So you have the SEC commissioner and everybody say, look, they're eligible for the postseason. Let's play. Missouri pulls the upset against Alabama. Decision gets handed down 3 weeks later. They're suspended. Is the SEC out of the playoff?
Technically, yes. But I think if before that ever gets out, I am Commissioner Sankey going, I don't care what you say, you don't release this information till the 15th of January, and then we're done with it.
Yeah, I think that's what I said. It's one in a trillion, but that is actually that would be how it would have to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, Missouri ran the table. They were eligible. They had the hearing. Because it is not out of the question that it's 12. We've seen that just recently, Notre Dame, we've seen, I think, Florida State had a case. There have been three or four where it's taken 12 to 14 months for the appeal to be heard, for a decision to be handed down based on the appeal.
Now, if it came out worst-case scenario this year for Missouri, let's say they only win five games, they'd be going, yeah, let's make the announcement right now.
Yeah, that's right.
We're done. We're not going to play in a game this year. We're moving on to next year.
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, yeah. That
but the NCAA just screwed us so bad because they did not punish you long-term, which is what when you're evaluating this whole case, they said, Missouri, you screwed up, but you did not advocate for the screw-up. And the second you heard about it, you told us. So we got to punish you somewhat severely because this can't be, but we're only going to do it for 1 year. So instead of saying, look, we're going to punish you over 3 years. We're going to do it, but we're not going to give you a bowl ban and wreck any of your seasons. They actually went the other direction. They said, it's only everything's for 1 year, so we're not going to kill you except for this year. We're crushing this year, the 1 year that you've got Kelly Bryant, the 1 year that you have an All-American caliber tight end, Albert Okwuegh something, coming back. The 1 year that this might be Larry Roundtree's last
name.
Year.
Come on.
I still don't know how to say it properly because I say Okabunum and the announcers all say it differently and everybody else says Alberto. So I don't know. You have a first team all SEC guard who may leave. I think he is a senior. Trevor Sims Wallace.
Yeah.
Yasir Durant, I believe, is a upperclassman here.
Yep.
So you got a bunch of guys who are good right now. And you got the guy who can only play for this year. He only have 1 year left. You got him. He's eligible immediately. And this is the year you're going to take away? I do not have time for this.
I can't wait another 50 years for it to happen again. So
no.
Just wait till next year.
That's right. Whenever you get a recruit to choose you over Auburn, that is a good thing.
Yes.
Because Auburn probably offered a lot more money than you did.
Make it right!
That's right. There are billboards all over the city.
Yes, it is.
I have a wristband at home that says, make it right. So, there you go. That is your Missouri information.
Do they think, by the way, you mentioned you were on with Cole. Did they feel favorable about this year?
They have no idea. They I'm their Mizzou expert.
Okay.
Not that I'm an expert in anything, but.
I asked because I know Cole is down at the media days and that whole group. None of them ever respect Missouri. Even the years.
Cole does.
Well, he does. Good point. Yeah, I should retract that. The media as a whole, as a group down there, for the most part, they never really think much of anything other than they're a team that's in the SEC.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a factor. Even when Gary Pinkel's teams won the back-to-back years and they were really good, none of them were like, eh. There was one media guy, the guy who covers the Florida Gators. I'm missing his name because he became a pretty good, reliable resource down there. He's the one guy that kept going, Pinkel knows what he's doing, dude. He's coming down here and beating the crap out of Florida. He knows how to win games. And he gave Missouri a lot of respect. He didn't get that from anybody.
Nah.
We were down there, we'd be doing interviews, and we'd be like, oh, you're the Missouri guys. Yeah, you guys aren't going to be very good.
Yeah.
You're like, well, we won last year. Guess what? We might win again this year.
Yeah. We won the last two years.
Yeah.
But we probably will suck this year.
Yeah. It's interesting just to watch how that whole area works.
Now, the guys that really watch film, like Cole. Mm-hmm. Cole comes out with his top five all the time, and Missouri players are routinely in there. Top five guards, top five centers, top five whatever, they're always in there.
Yes.
Cole really does his research, and that's how it is. All right, something interesting here, and we have just a couple minutes, and it's not a really big topic, so we'll hit it. So one of the Texas, Missouri has curators. They have regents, right? That's kind of who runs their stuff.
Yep.
The Texas regent, who is like one of their, he's a billionaire, whatever. Big time donor too, I guess. I don't know how all that plays, but he was on. It was a recent interview, kind of out of nowhere, that we had all heard about this behind the scenes, and nobody connected had ever confirmed anything. This was regarding Nick Saban in 2012 flirting with Texas.
I heard this. All right, this is great.
So Tom Hicks is the billionaire. He's a former UT region. Billionaire. This was...
You used to own the Rangers.
Was that him? Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
The same guy.
He's got $1 billion. It probably makes sense. Shortly after Saban won his third national title in 2012. By the way, that third one was 3 out of 4 while I was in college. It wasn't that much fun. Saban reached out. It wasn't Saban. It was Jimmy Sexton. But it was Saban, really.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching out to the Longhorn power brass. There is not a more politically charged team in all of sports than Texas. UT, everything is done through the politics of above. Anything that's happened has gone through 96 channels to get done, and it's usually one really powerful person pushing it through. That is UT.
Yeah.
So they did this all through Jimmy Sexton, who, by the way, is Barry Odom's agent, too, so I'm sure we could really get behind the scenes if we wanted to on this. To get a feel where the Texas program was following Mack Brown's disappointing season, his third straight where they struggled. Remember in 2009 they won the national title, and then they sucked him. We beat them in 2011. We were just average, and we beat them.
Right.
Like 17-3 or something like that. 72 maybe. And so they reached out to him and tried to say, hey, here's the deal. Nick Saban is a builder. He's not a maintainer. He is a turnaround artist. That's what Nick does. Nick knows that about himself. He did that at LSU. He did it real quick here at Alabama. Obviously, it didn't work out in Miami. He still thinks he could have done it at Miami had he gotten his guy. He's a turnaround artist. It's not that much fun for him to maintain and build and build and build. And at that time, he was thinking, look, I can read you a quote, actually. This is from a podcast. Hicks said this directly. He said, another region and I had the conversation with Saban's agent, and he said if Saban was a business guy, he'd be what you call a turnaround artist. He's not a long-term CEO. Fix it, win, and go on. He knows he's never going to catch Bear Bryant's legacy in Alabama, but he'd like to create his legacy that he's won national championships at more schools than anybody else. He's done it at LSU. He's done it at Alabama. And he knows that he can turn and go win a national championship at Texas. He knows he can. So that was the whole thing. So he said, he went on to say, he said, we had lunch, and I thought at the time he was ready to leave. He's talking about he went and actually met with Mac Brown. This guy did Tom Hicks.
Right.
With Mac Brown. I thought he was ready to leave. He'd been telling people he's ready to leave. So I said, Mac, I want to tell you about a conversation I had with Jimmy Sexton. If you want to retire, I think you can graciously have Nick Saban come in and take your place and have it be your idea. That might be a nice way for you to end it. He said, Mac Brown turned bright red, steam started coming out of his ears, and he said, that guy is not coming here to win a national championship with my players. And so Tom Hicks said, Mac, I'm glad to see you got that passion. I thought that passion had left. So that was that. He said, look, unless we had Mac Brown's blessing, was never happening here. Nick Saban was not coming in.
That's interesting to hear Mac Brown say that. Who, from anyone I've ever heard that has met him, they all say he may be the nicest individual they've ever met of Mac Brown.
Yeah.
Because, and Hadley's not here, but Hadley has told me there have been many times after he had first met Mac, Mac would go out of his way, John, how are you? And he said it to anyone else he's ever met. They all say he may be one of the nicest football coaches you've ever met. For him to make that statement about any other individual,
yeah,
boy, that doesn't speak well for Nick.
Yeah, I don't know that Nick is...
he doesn't make friends well.
Yeah, even Coach Pinkel, who played with him at Kent State, they're kind of, they shake hands in midfield.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
They're not buddies. They're not calling each other.
Nick did write the foreword for Coach Pinkel's book.
Yeah.
Which was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Coach, that's... he's a pretty thoughtful guy. He said, no, he's not, but he did write the foreword.
I love that. All right. Way to go.
So there you go. That is your Mizzou/Texas and college football update for today. A lot more stuff we'll have tomorrow. Don't you worry. I got to run right after this, boys. My sister is in labor. She is having her third child. Water broke at 4 a.m. this morning, and she's off and running.
We better get going here.
I know. So I have not gotten a phone call yet. It's my job to go take care of her other two kids while my parents are in the Bahamas right now. And she was not supposed to be going just yet, and
Uncle
here she is.
Uncle TJ's got to get move on.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
You
got to
be better than that 5'7" than that 40.
For anybody wondering where the national debt is now, it has gone up $100 million since we checked it.
You better stop talking about it.
$100 million!
It just keeps going up and up.
$22 trillion, $483 billion, $400.
How can we ever recover with you just keep shooting it up there?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Good luck to everybody in their future debt. We got to go. Thanks for hanging out. This is Frank Penny, Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. Coming up next, see y'all tomorrow, same time, same place, 1 o'clock. See ya.